Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Dr. Pat Newman joins us this morning, a longtime friend of HealthLink On Air. Welcome back, Dr. Newman.
Well, thank you.
I know many of our listeners recognize your name. You're a professor emeritus now, retired from SUNY Upstate. You were a surgeon for almost 40 years. Do you miss it?
Not really. I miss the people more than the work.
Well, and you know, actually that shows in the work you're doing now, and you're here this morning. We're going to talk about family history, family health history, and we've had this conversation before, but we've got some changes and updates, don't we?
Yes, definitely.
It's something we really can't talk enough about. So let's talk about some of the basics. Family health history. Why is that important for us to keep?
It's very important for you to know your family history because it gives you an insight into your genetic code, what actually makes you. And people are genetically predetermined to have certain problems. In fact, probably most diseases have some genetic component. Some of them are much clearer to us, but others are just becoming clear to us as more research is done in this area. So it's very important because it lets you know what you might be at risk for, and that gives you an opportunity to help prevent some things.
I was going to say it's a preventive tool very much, or at least it's an maybe I can escape this tool, right?
A lot of people would like to hide their head in the sand, and that's okay if that's the way they run their life. But for people who really want to take an active, proactive approach, they can know what they might be at risk for. They may not be able to prevent it, but they may be able to enroll in an early detection program that would allow them to detect it at its earliest stage and stand a much greater opportunity to be cured. Mm-hmm. And for some people, it actually is even more basic than that they just choose not to have children because the genetic risk is so great that child will carry a disease that will be really ominous to them through their life.
And we've had conversations before about genetics, and we will allude to those this morning because it's really very much a part of it. And the other thing I have to think, too, is that we look at medical records. You know, we think of our medical records very much as I'm going to the doctor, they're going to keep a record of what they're doing or what they're telling me to do. But this is the record that we start with. This is generated ourselves to actually kick those off, isn't it?
Yes, it's very important. When you go to a physician, particularly for the first time, you always give your family history. That should be part of the interview that you have with your doctor. It's amazing how many people know very little about their family history. Mm-hmm. They'll say, well, we never talk about it in our family. I really don't keep in touch with my family. It's very important for them to talk about it and to keep in touch and to know what the diseases that have occurred in their family are. And it's not a static shot. You may go to your family doctor when you're 20 and have a very different family history than you do when you go back at age 50. Mm-hmm. Things have happened in your family.
That's right.
Your parents have developed problems. Your siblings may have developed problems. Your children may have even developed problems that have a genetic significance.
Well, and let's talk about making adjustments in a minute, but let's talk about who those family members are that we need to be interested in.
It's very important that you go at a minimum one generation on either side of you, and it's best to go at least two generations on either side of you, to go across your entire family. So it's not just your mother, your grandmother, your grandfather. It's your mother's siblings, your mother's siblings' children, your father's siblings, your father's children, your grandparents, brothers and sisters, and their children. Once you get beyond that, what are called second order relatives, then it becomes less relevant because in each match of two people, both people bring half of the genetic material.
And we're talking about mother and father.
Mother and father.
That's right.
And so the further you get away from the mother and father and what genetic material might have been shared by each of them with their family, the less relevant a disease is. But if you can do at least that core of people that are really pretty closely genetically related to you, that's ideal.
And let's emphasize that, the genetically related. So we're talking about people you're related by blood. We're not talking
exactly
about stepsisters and brothers. We're not talking about grandparents that weren't really related by blood to you.
That's right.
And we have a lot of remarriages that go on. We're not talking about those kinds of combinations. These are people who you're in their bloodline or they're in your bloodline.
Exactly.
Right. And I find that interesting that you're talking about children. I guess I think of, well, I'm passing down to them, but what happens to them may not relate to me, but that isn't true, is it?
It isn't true, and I can give you one very specific example. Say your daughter is 23 and she develops breast cancer, extremely rare event, and the probability of a 23-year-old who gets breast cancer having one of the genes for breast cancer is extremely high. So the mother then, who is probably now mid-40s, is at risk to have that gene, or the father is at risk to have that gene.
Because the daughter got it.
Because
from
the
one
daughter
or the other.
Got it, probably from one or the other. And if you look at the genes for breast cancer, not everybody who has the gene gets breast cancer, and not everybody gets it at the same age.
Mm-hmm.
So now that mother would be at risk, mm-hmm. whereas before the daughter got it, she might not have known that there was any true family history. She may have come from a very small linear family where a mother had one daughter, no sons. There were very few people in each generation.
Sure.
So it may have been harder to detect mm-hmm. that genetic abnormality until now this daughter has it.
And, you know, we talk about it shifting as well. And that's interesting to me, you know, as time goes on, things change. I have a friend who developed breast cancer and in her 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But her mother died of breast cancer when the friend was 13.
Yes.
And, you know, so she kind of always thought she might get it because her mother died when she was so young. And yet she was in her 80s before she developed it. Those are still things we need to keep on our family history, aren't they?
They are, because you don't express every genetic abnormality you have and you don't express it at the same age.
Meaning you don't develop that
disease.
You
don't develop the disease.
Okay.
So that with breast cancer, for example, only 80% of the people who have the disease, if they live to age 80, will get breast cancer.
Uh-huh.
Some of them don't, and we don't know why.
Right.
And it's trying to figure out why people don't get the diseases that they have a genetic predetermination for is almost as important as determining that
yes,
they will get
yes.
it.
And further, you know, sometimes I think we don't know things might have developed in our family because whoever it is died at an earlier age of something else.
Exactly.
It just never came out. How do doctors use our family history?
You use it to help determine how you're going to screen and assess people.
Okay.
For example, somebody who has a significant family history of vascular disease, you're going to look much more carefully at their lipid levels. You're going to control them carefully. Not that you wouldn't do that for other people, but you maybe even start with their children. There's more evidence that you should control lipid levels in children and cholesterol levels in children than we knew before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all based on family history, early death of people within the family from heart disease. Breast cancer, you start screening the women much earlier if you know that they have a family history.
Right, because we're told now that we don't need mammograms until we're a little bit older on an annual basis.
Correct.
So you're saying that a mammogram might be recommended for the daughter of a mother who had breast cancer at an earlier age?
Well, it wouldn't be if just the mother had breast cancer, but if the mother had had breast cancer, the mother's sister had had breast cancer,
the mother
and her grandmother mm-hmm. had breast cancer, then you would certainly consider that. With breast cancer, there's the option of the woman who has the breast cancer being tested to see if she has one of the known genes, and the daughter being tested to see if she
uh-huh.
has, so she can determine whether she wants to be screened early rather than just be screened early. But many people would rather just be screened early than no.
Yes, yes,
and that's okay.
True. And they can make decisions or not make decisions. It's up
yes.
to them, but writing it down is a powerful tool. And new tool, that actually takes us to the next part of our conversation. There's a new tool that's been made available by the Acting Surgeon General, who Dr. Rear Admiral Dr. Stephen Galson, who we have talked to before on the show. He's a Central New York native, which we always find exciting. And this is an online interactive tool, isn't it?
It is. It's actually a wonderful beginning to assist people in keeping track of their family history personally.
It is. And we're going to talk about it, but before we do, I want to say listeners have heard me harp on privacy and security issues, and so immediately I'm thinking, I'm not going to put that information online. I went ahead and I sort of did a dummy version of it, and what I discovered is they can't possibly be keeping information about us anyway, and therefore, I didn't feel as if privacy or security could be violated. In fact, when you fill it out, you come up with a chart, which is very cool looking, and you save it to your own computer. It's not saved online. So there is nobody keeping information. But the information is very cool. Let's talk about this chart, because it really can be expansive, can't it?
It can. Actually, the chart that they use is somewhat simplified in that they look for a limited number of diseases within your family members, and they really look for a limited number of family members. Mm-hmm. It's not expansive, but it's a wonderful beginning because it's enough to let you have a sense of whether you may have one of these more major health problems in your family. And the health problems that they look at are health problems that really do have preventive components to them, so that there's a true benefit to you to know whether these things run in your family. So it really is a great beginning.
And I like the way you phrase it as a beginning. The way I looked at it was I only did parts of it, and then because again, I was just doing a dummy part of it. But what I ended up with is something that I could then take and expand upon. I could add people to it. I could add diseases that weren't mentioned to it. All in all, I thought it was a great beginning for keeping a family health history.
Oh, yes, definitely. It gives you a very good template.
Yes.
So that you can work from that to look at other things. And I think one of the most important things is it makes you think about it.
Yes.
And makes you realize it. And it also makes you realize things that you have not thought about. You may have lost track of a large number of your family members.
Right. And you wouldn't even know to ask the questions.
Right.
And you even have to think through who to ask the questions of.
Definitely.
It's very interesting. Well, Dr. Pat Newman, thanks so much for joining us this morning. We need to have you back more frequently. I know you're traveling all the time and you're busy with other projects, but we always learn from you and we appreciate the fact that you were here.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And listeners, we are going to take a quick break. Please stay with us. This is SUNY Upstate Medical University's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.